Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind.
It feels like deja vu a little bit here. I'm watching the Olympics right now, and yesterday, the U.S. men and men's volleyball are up 2-1, two sets to one, and allowed Poland to come back right now in the deciding fifth set. The U.S. women are up 5-3, but they're up 2-1 in their match against Brazil. Brazil won the fourth set, so we'll see how it plays out right now. Brazil has Brazil's up by 2 points. So we could have a duplication, a replica of what happened yesterday, where the U.S. teams had a chance to close an opponent out, didn't get it done, and they blow a 2-1 lead. So we'll see. 5-4 now.
We'll see if the coach is on the hot seat by the end of the show.
At least the hot seat that Sean has created for a sport he never pays attention to, for people he's never heard of until.
They're also in the semifinals.
Yes, they're going to play for a medal no matter what, but they have a chance to obviously play for the gold. Let's get to this. I called an audible because I wasn't sure what Potty Mouth Kay Adams actually said and whether we could hear it. Sean has listened back to it. We should be good to go. When asked about how many snaps his starters would play, D'Amico had a rather funny exchange with Kay Adams. Here's what he said.
Like, I know that if you give me the snaps, it will do well for me and I will go viral. I don't know why we care otherwise. Why do we care? Why are us reporters so obsessed with who's getting what and when?
Football is back, right? Football is back. Everybody's so excited to actually see the starters get out and play. How many snaps they're playing?
No, that is such an optimistic way to look at it. You know what it is? I feel bad for y'all because if you, the decisions you have to make, one drive or two or whatever, everyone just wants to know so they can pin it on you if it goes poorly.
Yeah.
That's it. And I hate that for you guys. That said, how many drives will I see Sadree Stroud in against the Steelers?
We'll see. I don't know. Right now, we'll probably see, two drives. It all depends on how well the first drive goes, right? But I'm expecting them to go out and get at least one or two drives. And for our guys, just to get used to playing again. I know back when I played, it was no question. Like, you were playing first quarter, you were playing a half, you were playing a half and into the third. So it was no question about who's playing, who's not playing.
Kay Adams, a ally to coaches everywhere. She hates it for those guys.
That said,
give me that scoop.
Yeah. Also, I like D'Amico going a little bit back in my day at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing until the third quarter.
Yeah. Third game, we're getting at least a series into the second half because that was, the full audition for the season. So, as you might expect, one to two drives, and that's even dependent on how many plays. Like, the Texans go down eight plays, go down and score a touchdown. That's the end of the night. If there's a three and out, tough sledding, the quarterback doesn't get hit, but you don't do much, we would see CJ for a second drive. All dependent on the results. Yeah, don't give up a sack. If he gets hit early in the game, we probably won't see him. With a rookie tackle and then another backup, unless Tonsil's going to play. And Blake Fisher is taking snaps at left tackle right now with Tonsil not practicing. And Titus Howard appears to be someone who won't be playing after his recent scare, although it appears not to be serious. All we've still heard is he's good. D'Amico will have to answer more questions after the game if Titus Howard's not dressed and doesn't play. He might have to get into a longer discussion about the status of his right tackle. But for now,
Kay Adams will be there to good. Ask the tough question.
She will hate it for the guys, but she will ask a question.
And then ask it again.
Yeah, to make sure. Can I get that as an exclusive? Need that for my podcast, my internet show. So we got Texans Steelers on Friday. we'll talk about it more tomorrow, but just get out of there. No injuries. What do I need to see from them? If Stephon Diggs has a nice game or nice series or two, oh, look at the chemistry. I'm not worried about it. I think no matter what we see tomorrow, those guys will be fine. The trio of Collins, Dell, and Diggs will be just fine. No matter what happens in the preseason, they'll figure it out. And you know why? Because Bobby Slowik is one of the top coordinators in the game today. Those are not my words. Those are the words of PFF. This has kind of been on the rundown for a while. I just haven't gotten to it. But he is the third best OC in all of football. Now, this only goes for guys who aren't head coaches / play callers. So there's no Kyle Shanahan. There's no Mike McDaniel or others. Just simply straight OCs, which seems a little unfair. I know Kyle Shanahan's a head coach, but he does coordinate one of the best offenses in football, but doesn't make the list. So without those two, it's been on there for a while. Have you looked at it yet?
I think we talked about it yesterday on Galan George.
Okay, so you remember who the two guys ahead of him are then?
I do not remember.
Yeah, it's Galan George. Sometimes you tune out, I think. You got other things to do. There's so much sound to play.
Yeah.
You got a busy day. You're doing podcasts. I get it. So the Ravens, Todd Monken, is at number two. He's only done it for a year on the NFL level, at least with the Ravens. And he is and you get into the PFF numbers, the EPA per play, all those things, and what he did to improve. And, of course, he has in his first year, he produces a MVP in Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar Jackson had won the MVP a couple years ago, and well, now 5 years ago in 2019. But there are some questions about Lamar and the new offense and his inability to stay healthy. So a good year, and Todd Monken's number two in the list. He may be a guy along with Bobby Slowik who's not long for that job. The number one is a guy a lot of people thought wouldn't be an OC anymore. It's Ben Johnson. So those are the two guys. Ben Johnson coordinates a very good offense. That run game, that offensive line, dominant. Jared Goff putting up really good numbers with the help of Ben Johnson. So not a bad grouping if you're Bobby Slowik. Ben Johnson, Todd Monken, and you. And that's after 1 year of being an OC. You're already the third best strictly only coordinator. Maybe if they went with play caller, he might fall down the list behind McDaniel and
Shanahan,
and maybe McVay. And there's a lot of other guys like Kevin Stefanski, right?
Yeah.
And Kevin O'Connell.
Now the conversation is coming to me. This is something we talked about where, because it is a coordinator-only list, being like, whoa, number three? That's crazy. But then if you actually start counting all the play callers, then it becomes, oh, okay, so he's like eighth, ninth?
Potentially.
That feels more right.
Sure.
For a guy who, you know, last year it was a successful year, but there were games where we're just like, what the hell? What was Bobby Slowik calling for in the third quarter? Where there would be just series where they seemed to have nothing going, and what they were calling, the play, not just execution, just like the play calls were head scratching. Now, some of that was a little bit of like they have to run jet sweeps with Xavier Hutchinson late in games.
Yeah, it's tough.
And that's where I do wonder if it becomes a little bit less a less rinky-dink offense because they have Diggs, Collins, and Dell out there.
And then you add the running backs along with Schultz. You get Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce and Cam Akers. Yeah,
second year in the offense. I mean, if they stay healthy, they'll because that's really what what led to a lot of jet sweeps.
They had nothing to go to.
Yeah, I think even like Steven Sims got some looks.
Hey, Noah Brown had his moments.
Yeah, so you know, if Diggs and Collins and Dell can stay healthy, I think some of that nonsense kind of goes out the window.
What you're running in your college dynasty nonsense.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have to, okay?
Yeah, you're at Rice. There's a difference. And the Texans.
Oh, I have some news.
Oh, you weren't going to take the USC job. I'll get to your news when we come back. Yeah. We do have a caller who says he wants to talk about the Texans. He's using his real name, so we're forced to go to him. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Turkey.
That's what I meant when I said we're forced.
I was wondering if you guys would like the all-male threesome y'all are all enamored with of Collins, Dell, and Diggs to be called the law firm?
No. Dell, Diggs, and
Collins. Bang, bang, Niner game.
Okay, you're done for a week. Congratulations. At least on this show, John Lance can have you on as much as you want.
Can he be welcomed back the day after Brandon Ayuk gets traded?
Oh, if the draft package, I mean, the compensation package is terrible, yes, he can come back then. If it's an awful compensation package, you're more than welcome.
If we're getting some Steelers second and thirds.
You are allowed to call in after the trade. Either way, really, you can comment on it. You're the one 49er fan we talk to.
Voice of the fan.
Yes. So if you want to do that, cool. But until then, that's your work release. But until then, you don't come back for a week. You're suspended. No, Diggs, Collin, and Dell, however you ordered, it's not a good name for a law firm. And speaking of nicknames, I talked about it yesterday, and since the Olympics are in I'm watching it right now, as the U.S. are trying to close out Brazil up 13-10. I think they go to 15 in the final set.
I believe so.
I think that's what it is.
That's what the men did yesterday.
So they're 2 points away from that. We have a nickname for the front three of Rodman, Swanson, and Smith. I thought it was the Trident. That is the name that soccer people are calling them. But the ladies were on the Today Show this morning, and they have decided, yes, we hear you. We know you're trying to give us a nickname. And for you guys listening, just remember, they're all in their mid to early 20s. So before you get after them, because I can already feel it coming for some people, just remember, they're not cruddy 40-year-old dudes. They are young, great athletes in their mid to early 20s. Here is Swanson, Rodman, and Smith on what they think their nickname should be.
Y'all are so cute, we can't
we
take it.
We also have a name for ourselves.
Wait, we have an announcement.
What we is have it? An announcement. Trinity, take it away.
We have a proposal for our trio name to be Triple Espresso, so we're just going to put that out into the air and let people run with that because okay. We like that as well.
Triple Espresso.
Let's take it out for a test drive right now. Triple Espresso, thank you for being with us this morning. We will be watching. You can bet on it. You like the way it sounds?
I don't know if that works. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. We're workshopping it.
All right, girls. Good luck. Go get them, okay?
Go get them. We're so proud of you. You can catch the final.
Thank you.
The gold medal match against Brazil, 11 a.m. Saturday, Eastern Time.
Yeah, 10 a.m. here. That front trio will be the difference between, likely the difference between them winning a gold or not. Triple Espresso, is that because Sabrina Carpenter and that song, and that's a big deal now? I'm not sure. I like the Trident. But then again, I'm not a 20-something-year-old woman, so I would have a different taste. And we have, not breaking news, because you can all see it if you're watching, I'm not breaking any news, but the U.S. women have qualified in women's volleyball for the gold medal game. They held off Brazil. They had a couple of match points. They won it on the second match point. So in the gold medal game, great match, but the U.S. survive. So we do have a chance for another gold medal. The women are at it. So that's the U.S. women in volleyball, the U.S. women in soccer, likely the U.S. women in basketball playing for the gold medal. They beat Nigeria yesterday in the quarterfinal. So they're into the medal round two. And as far as the team sports, I think that's where it ends as far as U.S. women right now. We'll see what the men do in basketball. We can expect them to beat Serbia as they try to go for a gold medal. So we're getting close to the end of the Olympics. Still haven't seen any breakdancing yet. Is that just saved for the final couple days?
I think it's Friday.
Friday, okay. Do they do it all in one day?
I can get on that.
I want to see
the schedule.
The B-boys and the B-ladies. How long?
B-girls.
Yeah. Oh, they don't even... Oh, yeah. B-boys, B-girls. I was trying to be... Mm-hmm. Not insulting by calling them ladies. But yeah, the B-girls are at it, coming up here shortly.
Show them some respect.
I was trying to by calling them B-ladies.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of belittling. Yeah, they get it all done with in 2 days.
Okay, breakdancing takes 2 days. Okay.
I mean, it makes sense. It's not...
Yeah, how much recovery time do you need?
No offense. But...
I'm sure it's very, very arduous and a lot time-consuming to practice, but... As far as the competition itself, who needs more than 2 days of judging dancing? I've seen Step Up. That's like a day.
It's step up to the streets.
There's how many are there now? Like four or five? I think I didn't make it past two. When Channing Tatum was out, I think I was out.
I'm only here for Tatum.
Yeah, thanks. And Brianna Evigan, whatever the female lead on the other side was, but two of those. I don't need more.
How many? That is a good point.
How many dance movies do I need to watch? I get it. One side versus the other. There's some familial conflict where the family doesn't think it's respectable to dance. I'm sure they'd rather you be in ballet. That's kind of how they all go. Shout out to Channing Tatum, who got to play Gambit.
Spoiler.
I didn't say what. He said he got to play Gambit.
Oh, yeah. Who knows?
He could have been anything. Maybe he was Gambit in the Marvels. You don't know if you didn't watch it, which plenty of people didn't. So you don't know.
Okay. We don't know what Gambit was. He might have been in Twisters. We don't know.
No, I used a Marvel property to try to shoot myself some bail. Twisters. It'd be great if he was throwing illuminated playing cards into the tornado to try to kill it. That'd be great. I wish he was in Twisters. Would his accent been any worse than the British girl being the Southern girl? Would have been the British actress playing the Southern girl?
Also, have you seen Twisters?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, at one point she moves to New York and then moves back to Oklahoma. And they ask her where she's from, and she says New York. But she says it in a Southern accent. And the entire time I'm like, they don't immediately call her out on it. Like, it's crazy.
Excuse me?
Yeah, exactly. And then they play it later where they're like, oh, I thought you were from New York. I didn't know you're a former...
Have you not listened to a word she said?
Yeah, I'm like...
You can hear that she's not from New York.
She's obviously doing a Southern accent.
Yeah, what are you doing? Look, I know it's a movie involving Twisters with an S for the twins. Understood, but can we have some logic? The woman is clearly not a New Yorker.
Honestly, it might be my only knock on the movie.
I'm sure. From the reviews, it seems like a great time. I got to make sure there's still a showing going on at the local Cinemark before it's out of the theaters. I want to see it.
You should see it in the theater.
I do. I want to see it in the theater. That's what I want to do. I should probably do it this weekend before there's no other opportunities. When we come back, we heard from D'Amico Ryans on CJ Stroud's potential playing time. Well, there's one quarterback who won't be playing in the preseason or ever again. It's not that dire. He's not dead. He's just retiring. And the question will be, did he have a good enough career for a video? There are some highs, maybe the highest of highs, but for the most part, he's been a backup quarterback in the back half of his career. We'll hear from this gentleman about retiring from the game, and Sean and I will determine, are you good enough to get a video as opposed to a simple statement? We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Sean and I are talking about things we can't talk about on the air. Well, we could. Well, I could. Sean would have to take a step back for his own benefit.
Yeah.
We were talking about Triple Espresso. They're, beyond the fact that they're great soccer players, there is a certain characteristic that makes them, that would bring them together, maybe why they decided to call themselves Espresso. You figure it out. I'm going to lead you to water, but I'm not going to force you to drink. You can figure that out if you watch three. Watch them on Saturday. Got a chance to win a gold medal. The U.S. women haven't played in a gold medal match, I think, since 2012. Coming off a bad World Cup experience, got a shot to win a major tournament. So we'll see how that goes as they play Brazil. Legendary Brazilian Marta will play in her final match. So a lot of history at stake in that one. But let's talk about a former quarterback who's retiring. He is a Super Bowl MVP. He was a backup until late in that Super Bowl year when the starter got hurt. and he's put out a retirement video. He will officially retire with the Eagles during their first game of the 2024 season. Here is Nick Foles announcing his retirement from football.
It's crazy to be in this moment, looking at this camera, officially announcing my retirement from the NFL. From the first day I was born, my dad put a football in my hand. He must have known something, because that became a dream of mine since I've been a kid, to play in the NFL, and I will be forever grateful for that. It's been such a special privilege to play for Philadelphia, St. Louis, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Chicago, and Indianapolis. To the fans of the NFL around the world, thank you for making the game so special. Y'all are the ones that bring the energy in the stadiums. Thank you. Specifically, thank you to the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Thank you for all your support from 2012 when I was drafted to 2017 when I came back. You truly made playing in Philadelphia the most special experience in my football career. To all the coaches I had in my career, thank you for everything.
That's just Nick Foles. The music, I hadn't heard it. I had only seen the clip. I grabbed it. I had not heard the music. I wanted to be surprised. All right, man, we're doing a little much. I understand. Bittersweet, you're retiring from the game. But the soundtrack, the needle drop, what are we doing?
What? It's like we're eating at a nice steakhouse.
What is this, a nice French restaurant? Or are you retiring from football? Why do you have violins behind you? I don't know who your social team is, Nick Foles. Relax. So beyond the production value of the clip, Sean, I always pose the question to you and I respond. Is Nick Foles a good enough player to warrant a retirement video with production value?
I think.
Now, to the Eagles and the Philly fans, yes. He won them a Super Bowl, their first ever, and he was the MVP. You can't geotag. You can't make it where it only goes to Philly fans, so the rest of the world has to see it too. Geo-block the rest of the world so it only goes to the Eagles fans. But for the rest of us, is he a good enough player for that, or was a statement all that needed to be done?
I will say a statement could have been all we really needed. Take a page out of a Philadelphia newspaper or something
and thank them. But he thanked all the teams, I think.
Yes, I will say this is, we only played about 40 seconds.
I know, there's like 2.5 minutes, right? Yeah, I had
a 2.5 minute video.
Yeah,
that is my okay. We could have cut this puppy in half.
Yeah,
a half plus. Does this have to be over a minute long of looking to a camera?
Just sitting. What was he in, like in a hotel room or something? Was he?
I assume it's his house.
Okay. But I don't remember exactly. It looks like a hotel room. And then we got the violins in the background. Nick Foles. It's a retirement video.
It is like just him looking into a camera and talking for 2.5 straight minutes. And then there's a couple. Honestly, the most shocking part is there's a couple more angles that they go to.
They have multiple angles?
Yes, of him just, again, sitting in front of what looks like a hotel room talking. But the first cutaway to the second camera happens a minute in. So he's just, it's a wild video.
But Nick Foles, known for the Philly special, known for the filling in more than admirably, getting the job done and beating Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. He goes the way of Eli Manning, beating Tom Brady as an NFC East quarterback. But
Eli's like only half as many times.
Yeah.
Get your numbers up.
And I was the starter the full year. I didn't come in on the back of some other guy's great success and get it done.
Riding Carson Wentz's coattails.
Imagine saying that now. You were riding Carson Wentz's coattails. Who's still in the league, by the way. Nick Foles. He's done at 35 years old. Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, and he may not have been the creator of the video, but certainly this is an example of you're doing too much, Nick Foles. It's too much. Sean's right. A minute, no music, no violins, and we're good. But a good career is over, and he'll always have that Super Bowl ring and MVP. Willie P, you want to talk Olympic soccer? What's up?
Hey, Dale. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Love the show, love the show. Big fan. So I have two questions. First one, no matter the outcome of tomorrow's U.S. Women's National Team game, the gold medal match, doesn't the fact that they hired Emma Hayes to be their coach and the way she changed that team around since she's been there, since she left Chelsea, doesn't that show that the U.S. men need to do the same thing, and that it starts with the coach, it starts at the top? Like, if we look at the women, they were terrible in the last World Cup. She came in, and if you remember, when she won her first teams, what did she do? She got rid of Alex Morgan. She said, nah, baby girl, you too old for this. She got rid of it. She didn't play the favors. And now you see Sophia Smith, Mallory Swanson, Trinity Rodman, Naomi Girma. I mean, they are just killing it. Nye Swanger, like, they are killing it. And I just wish, I just hope that the U.S. men's national team, you know, take a page from their book, and, you know, they go against somebody who's not, no more nepotism, no more MLS. No more Americans, man. Let's get somebody who needs a translator to talk to these players. That's what we need. Somebody with some international and European experience. I need a dude in here with a translator who might be gambling like Shohei's translator. I just need somebody in here legit. And the other thing I want to ask you is, have you checked out the chill out, guys. Have you checked out the Batman Cape Crusader cartoon on Amazon Prime? I thought it was for kids, and then I let my 4-year-old son watch it, and my wife got mad because there's a scene where a dude gets his head blown off, and you don't see it, but you see, like, the shadow and, like, the brain splatter and stuff. I just wonder if you check it out or not. Anyways, you guys have a good day. What do you do, Sean, baby? Holla.
Appreciate it, Willie P. The first part about Olympic soccer, it's like I wrote that for you because I've been saying this throughout the week, pretty much using the women's advancement throughout the tournament as an example of why the coach matters so much. People push back, particularly uninformed dopes like John Granato, when it comes to soccer. He's informed about other stuff, but soccer, dopey. Let's be clear. Oh, they've always been good. That was just a downturn. Sure, it was a talented roster, and I will talk about roster construction. You mentioned Alex Morgan not being around. Mallory Swanson was hurt, so she wasn't available for the last World Cup. But as talented as they were in 2023, for that World Cup, they still couldn't score goals, and they were knocked out in the second round. So you can be as talented as you want. You don't have the right coach, it's going to go poorly. Now, the U.S. men, in comparison, aren't as talented as U.S. women. They don't have that type. When we talk about, what if our best athletes played soccer? I don't know if our best athletes are playing women's soccer, but we're athletically more gifted than most of the teams they play, if not all. The men, skill-wise, tactically, no, not so. But just flat-out athletes, we're with everyone else. It's not a question of athletes. Now we just talk about, well, if we get an NBA athlete out there, maybe we would just win. Not if they don't know how to kick a soccer ball the right way or pass the ball or are tactically inclined to play the sport. Those are differences. In fact, no 6'8 guy, unless your name is Peter Crouch, and he's not even that tall, is going to be that dominant in soccer. Just different skill sets. But, yes, go get yourself a great coach. And then we can talk about the lack of talent. I don't know how good this team can be, the men's version, because they haven't been put in great positions to succeed. I think it's funny. Consistently, we point to coaching in the sports we care about here all the time, whether it be football. Talk about it. The Astros, not the Astros. The Texans were terrible. Now they drafted C.J. Stroud, and that changes things. But we still give so much credit to D'Amico Ryans for what he's done and Bobby Slowick. Coaching matters all the time. The Rockets are a better example because the roster is pretty much the same. They've added veterans, certainly. But are they coached better than they would have been under Steven Silas? Yes. Is there a plan that you can see forming, even just on the court with the young players? Yes. Go get yourself a competent coach for the U.S. men. Then have a conversation about the talent level. Are they capable of winning a World Cup with this group? Unlikely. But are they capable of making a quarterfinal and maybe a miracle run to a semifinal at home, which a lot of teams pull off? I think so. That's why this upcoming tournament's very important. This rant, this topic always drives me to this point because it's less about the U.S. Soccer Federation, which is a giant problem, and more about the conversation surrounding the team. Like, everyone's just resigned to, well, we're not as good talent-wise as everyone else, so how could we possibly compete? That's not how you approach sports. Get the best people you can to surround your current player pool and go from there. That's all. I can breathe. Pena, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk about a subject, depending on what you get to, that may get me fired up as well, but probably less than this, because the comments, the conversation is almost mind-numbing to me. But you know what I do want to inform you about is my bookie. If you want to bet on the U.S. gold medal game against the Brazilians, which I believe is Saturday, not Friday. Willie P., if you're looking for the game tomorrow, I think you're going to be out of luck. It'll be Saturday. You can go to my bookie. They'll give you the opportunity. If you think Sophia Smith and the rest of the Triple Espresso group is going to lead the U.S. to a gold medal, you can take advantage of that. Or you're into the Astros, and maybe you're not betting on them tonight because they don't play. But on Friday, as they start their series against the Red Sox, you want to lean into the Astros getting on a hot streak. Or just simply bet against the Mariners tonight. They aren't good. Maybe the Tigers and AJ Hinch will sweep them. Take advantage of my bookie. You go to mybookie.ag, use that promo code BET975, and bet on anything, whether it be sports or you just want to take advantage of the live casino option. The cards games are great. You have the live dealer, so it's not just a card popping up on your screen. You see the cards being dealt to you. Use the promo code to sign up. Use the promo code if you're an existing customer as well. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
That's Michael Carroll. He'll join us tomorrow at 11:30. And I don't know if he's going to talk about Borderlands. He does a segment with us every week recommending what you should or shouldn't watch. Video game adaptations have had a comeback. The Last of Us is good. Fallout got great reviews. Borderlands, that one's not gonna fly as far as the reviews are concerned. Just one review. It's the worst movie I've seen all year from someone. And they go after Eli Roth. That cast features Cate Blanchett. You're like, why is Cate Blanchett in a Borderlands movie? Apparently the script was really good until Eli Roth got a hold of it, the director. This one review says that it's so bad that the writer asked for their name to be taken off of it because Eli Roth ruined it.
I saw that it has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Rotten Tomatoes score isn't everything,
but
some say it means nothing.
That's brutal.
I would say that if it's at 0%, it means something.
Yes. Now, I'm never going to be into a movie really that has Kevin Hart in it. There have been a lot of misses for him in movies. But Cate Blanchett's in it. That's a legit actor, as they would say, who decided to take this movie on. And then she got on set, and she's like, wait a minute. This isn't going the way I thought it would. And people are blaming Eli Roth for that. So maybe Michael will have a different view of it, or maybe not. We'll get to that tomorrow. Let's start with Pena. He wants to talk college football. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, that Borderlands movie is going to be straight garbage, man. Like, I love the games, but they're awesome, but as soon as I saw that, when I went to go watch Deadpool, I saw the PG do it, I was pretty upset. But, yeah, I'm here to talk college football, man. I saw that, what's his name, the running back from Texas got hurt. Oh, man, my heart sunk, man. I thought we were going to just run into the SEC and just run that, but I still think we're going to run it. How do you think Texas is going to turn out? And you talked about a 6'8 soccer player. You got to leave out Zlatan, man. That guy was dope, man. He was awesome. Thank you. Have a great day.
Zlatan is dope. Don't think he was 6'8, though. He was tall. He was big.
He was dope.
He was. Not the dope that Marcus Jordan was snorting, though.
Yeah, Marcus Jordan's like, huh? What'd you say?
Oh, you say dope? Different type. But, yeah, Zlatan was great. Big, strong. Dude was an awesome player. Just don't think he was a power forward type or a big, small forward type. I don't think he was that big. As far as CJ Baxter, I mentioned it before, really early in the show. I wanted to get Sean's opinion on it. That news broke. Baxter, the star back for Texas, is out for the year. Jaden Blue will be thrust into a bigger role. He got plenty of snaps last year. He'll get certainly more this year. Sean, the news of C.J. Baxter out, does it change the trajectory of Texas' season? What do you think? Will they have enough to overcome?
I think they should have enough to overcome. It's more about losing like the kind of top end talent. Like, they have plenty of running backs that could be SEC running backs. It's more of they don't have the difference maker behind them, other than Blue, who I mean, they announced the Doak Walker watch list earlier this week, I think, and both guys were on the Doak Walker watch list, even when both of them were supposed to be playing. So I think that the drop-off from Baxter to Blue isn't that big of a deal. It's just going from having two difference-making running backs to having one basically before the season even kicks off, and you're going to have to play an SEC schedule, and if something happens to Blue, now it's big Trey Wisner hours, who is solid talented but hasn't really played offense ever. At Texas, more of a special teams guy. And then you got some freshmen behind him. So, you know, I don't think it drastically changes things, but they probably won't run the SEC. But playoffs, still the expectation.
It feels like Bond, Golden, and Bolden season.
Yeah, that's another part of it. Just, okay, you're down a running back. It would be super sick if the guy who's going into his third year starting could carry this team as a quarterback.
Always got to turn into slander for Quinn Ewers.
That's not slander. I'm saying
he's been in college. How about let's not worry about
his third year starting?
How about let's not worry about it? I ain't worried because Quinn Ewers is going to carry this team. The super sick.
I'm not worried about it.
Because you have a replacement in mind. Understood.
Or I should say, I'm not worried about it, I guess. I am worried about his ability to actually, he'll step it up. He'll carry this team. It's like, kind of want to establish the run a little bit more.
You think set he up need, the play needs action. A little bit more help? You think he can't be a guy who gets leaned on for 40 dropbacks a game?
He's better after play action. His numbers suggest that he's a better play action quarterback.
He's got all the weapons on the outside to make you feel a little bit better about him.
So is Purdy.
Well, Purdy has Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, what if he lost him?
Elijah Mitchell's pretty good. I mean, the 49ers can find
Jaden Blue's pretty good. It's just you're again, maybe we talk about this all the time when guys stay for a million years at quarterback and they get better. Maybe that happens with Quinn Ewers.
It's only been two and going into three. It ain't been a million years.
No, but just more of like the experience. At a certain point, you do get better with a ton of experience playing against 19 and 20-year-olds. So.
Sure.
Maybe that happens.
At this point, he'll be older than most of the players he's playing against at this point.
He's on the older side. He's an upperclassman now.
Yes, after sitting out a year at Ohio State, right?
And then playing for two,
yes. He is in that. Hey, aren't you too old to be on campus?
Not are you too old to be on campus, but he is a senior. He's a redshirt junior.
By age,
junior.
He would be a senior. Fourth year junior, yes. Going into his fourth year. So, yes, you would hope that Quinn Ewers can overcome the loss of C.J. Baxter and just distribute the ball to those big-time wide receivers that they've brought in over the last offseason. All transfers, right? Bolden, Golden, and Bond?
Yes. And I think they're all the leading receivers at their former teams. I think that's true. That might not be true.
Then you have Ryan Wingo as your big-time freshman waiting to get snaps, too.
Jonte Cook.
You got plenty of weapons. Quinn Ewers, we're looking at you. Let's get it done. Or not. I don't care one way or the other, honestly. But for Sean's sake, either get it done or make it clear you're not going to get it done early so they can go to Arch.
Boom.
There it is. Bingo. Let's also get to you on the other side. Fake name. You can wait. We'll talk to him about soccer, we think, when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
final segment of the show. Do I preview a giveaway we're going to do tomorrow? Just to keep people listening? Hey, tomorrow, you should stay tuned, because at any point, I'm going to give away tickets to Alien Romulus. It's not a watch along with me, so that should be enticing. It'll just be tickets you can take someone you want to hang out with to that movie. Sean, I, and Michael have talked about it. It's actually a horror-leaning movie that Michael will actually watch. From all the previews or trailers, it suggests we're going back into the horror side of the Alien franchise. So we'll give away those tomorrow. If you're interested in that, just stay tuned. At some point between 10 and 12 tomorrow, we'll do that. But let's get to La Salsa, who wants to talk about soccer, allegedly.
Shout out to the La Raza. Also shout out to the caller formerly known as Ryan. Hashtag, when is Rahul going to get back on the air? But I got an idea for the soccer, men's soccer team. Why don't they go out and do a Ted Lasso thing, man? All you got to do is leave, Jelly.
I don't like the bastardization of my name, and I don't get the reference, mostly because I couldn't understand it. I heard the Ted Lasso part. I'm not sure what the reference was, because all I heard was traffic or the sound of wind going by your window. So I'm not sure. Ryan, you missed a golden opportunity here, and we'll get to it, mostly because I remember you up there. And don't shout out your former self when it's just you calling in. Just say, I'm La Salsa. Enough already. The bit is fine, but shouting out the artist formerly known as Ryan when you're Ryan, you're just shouting at yourself.
Man, when's Ryan going to call back?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
The people love him.
Yeah, I've been asking for him, and all we get is La Salsa, referencing Ryan. All you're doing is making us feel bad, remembering that Ryan doesn't call in anymore. Okay, cool. But he normally calls in Ryan or La Salsa, depending on what personality he wants to use. He generally calls in about some fake sports thing just to get to his normal topic. There is a topic in the Olympics that would suit Ryan's interest. Alicia Newman or Alicia, I'm not quite sure. You help me out, Sean. Alysha. Is that an Alicia or an Alicia? Alicia, right?
Alicia, I would say.
Alicia Newman. She is a pole vaulter for Canada. She won a bronze yesterday. She also is what Ryan likes to talk about quite a bit, ask questions about. She is an OnlyFans creator. Why that's important? It's because I don't know if we know of a active Olympian who also has that on the resume, where she will compete in her sport and is good enough to win a bronze. And also, hey, guys, and that's where I'm going to end it as far as the OnlyFans thing is concerned. You guys get what happens in OnlyFans. I will say she is cognizant of her career outside of OnlyFans, so she's not doing all the things. It's, you would call it tasteful, I think. That's what we used to call it. The tasteful stuff, I guess, is what she does. But after securing the bronze with her final leap or vault, I guess you would call it, considering the name of the event, she faked like she was hurt, because that has been part of her story where she's had a bad ankle injury. She faked the injury and then started twerking. She's not the only one to do this in sports. There was a woman soccer player who did this now a couple years ago, where she scored a goal, ran around, and then faked like she hurt her ankle, and then then did a twerk, which I think is the inspiration for it.
I think so.
Yes. She is, I think, a former UMF Miami athlete. She dated Anthony Ciccolo, a former Miami player, had bit parts around the league with the Steelers and others. That's not a great story. The ending of their relationship, not great. You can Google it if you want. Didn't end well. But she twerked. Became a thing. You know, I get the celebration, but when you win the bronze medal for the first time for your country, I would probably rather have that be the story than the entire world go, look what this person did. I get it. There's a lot of attention, and she was exuberant in the moment. But when you do it, now it becomes less about, hey, you did something that your country's never done, and it's about, oh, look what the OnlyFans model did.
It's also a moment that, at least theoretically, it's like in She's Canadian, right?
Yes.
In Canadian history, this is forever. What I'm
saying.
Canadian Olympic history, they're going to play the...
How's the social team?
Remember when we got the pole vault bronze?
What's the social team going to do now? They've got you twerking. They would love to have you run off excited. And like, from the moment you clear the bar to you celebrating, they would probably love to throw that on all the socials. How do they use the twerking video?
Do you think... Well, part of this is that... Sports Illustrated, not really a thing anymore.
Not at all.
But, you know, Mia Hamm, she was on the Sports Illustrated cover after celebrating, what was it, the World Cup?
99, yeah.
99 World Cup. You know?
That wasn't Mia Hamm. That was Brandi Chastain.
Oh, Brandi Chastain.
Come on, bro.
Messed that up.
What are we doing here?
Mia Hamm's in the Miller Lite commercial.
Okay, Brandi Chastain ripped off her shirt when she scored the final penalty against China to win the 99 World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, and now... Canada has that own, their own moment.
Are they going to put that on? Where do you put it though?
on a magazine cover.
I'm going to Team Canada's Instagram. Let's see if they have that video up.
They probably do.
Do they have her twerking?
They probably cut off the celebration.
I'm looking at it right now, scrolling through, and now I have to see how quickly they update things because I don't see it in like the first 8 or so posts. So I don't know. I think it's a moment the social team would have preferred for her not to twerk in.
No, that's social team doesn't need to be that high and mighty about this.
They have bosses too, Sean. They're just the admin. They have to answer to someone and go, "Hey, could you not put the twerking on our socials?"
Is there not even a photo of her like with the medal, like doing the bite out of the medal thing?
I didn't see it in the first 8, so I'm gonna have to keep scrolling to see. But the first couple, I don't know if it's part of one of their stories, but like. As far as posts are concerned, scrolling.
Do they have posts of Jamal Murray throwing up bricks?
I don't think they're going to put that on the social. Yeah, the first shot of her is from 16 hours ago. And they just go over all their medal winners. And it's in French in this case. So they show her with the Canadian flag, but it's all stills. There's no image of her celebrating, going over. And coming off. So, yeah, it's difficult. I don't know if it's in one of the reels, but so far, she may have ruined the social team's moment.
It might be in reels. Actually, it's less likely that it's in a reels.
Yeah, they would want it on the front, right?
They would have to edit.
Yeah.
And get some heavy edit.
Get the twerk out if they don't want the twerk in. I'm telling you, man, social team was like, yes! Oh, no. What are we going to do with that? You don't think there are conversations about, can we use this or not?
There definitely was a...
And then they saw that, I guess we can't use it.
Some boss was like, no, we can't.
Just think about it.
Joe George type.
Like, Joe George type?
Yeah. It's like,
So they have it. So, of course, because Canada is a country split in some cases by language, so they have an American... They have American. A Canadian write-up.
A Canadian version.
No, an English write-up of it, and they have a... Or recap of it, and they have a French... recap of it, and none of it involves the twerking. It is what it is.
Messed up.
Sorry. I don't mind the moment. I just know how these things work, and they would have preferred for her to just run off, grab the flag, and celebrate.
Cry, run over to her boyfriend. They love that stuff.
But what they got was, oh no, what did she do? And they've had to work around it. And no videos. Just stills. Sorry, Canada.
Messed up. It's a legendary Canadian athletic moment.
I don't know if it's on their Twitter account, but as far as Instagram's concerned, no video of her and her moment. It'd be like that sometimes.
Have fun with Jamal Murray.
There's no fun being had there. Oof. An embarrassment to the nation. You think the twerking was an embarrassment? Did you see Murray's shooting performances?
Yeah. Get that guy out.
Far more embarrassing. Team Canada made me look dumb. Got beat by France. I blame Jamal Murray, as Sean called him a Jokic merchant. We're done for the day. Gallant Georgia up next, then the Killer Bees. Alicia Newman did it. I did it. So what does that mean?
We did it!
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.